take you to Matthew. Matthew chapter 18, pardon me, chapter 28, verse 18. And this is after Jesus is risen from the tomb and the guards go give the report, and then we see what we call the Great Commission. When Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age." Now, every once in a while before a sermon starts, I give you a summary, because I don't want you to get lost in the weeds. So, hear this out. This is the summary of the whole sermon. Do we really believe that most non-Christians are lost? Psalms 74, verse 20 says, "The dark places of the earth, where the love of God is not known, are full of inhabitants of cruelty, selfishness, hatred, greed, strife, and violence." Do they need a Savior? Yes, they do. Now, several times when I give sermons, or in this, we'll just say this last year, you might have heard me or someone else say, "That led me down a rabbit trail." Now, do you know what the words "rabbit trail" mean when used in that way? It means you get in a story, right? It means to start out with one thought, which leads to another thought, which leads to another thought, which leads to another thought, and so on. And that's exactly what happened when I was preparing the sermon. Continuing on my own personal rabbit trail, it caused me to think about an old TV program called MASH, which portrayed a mobile army surgical hospital staffed with doctors and nurses on the front lines. And sometimes the enemy was so close that the doctors and nurses risked their lives to continue caring for the patients while the shells were exploding around them. They even had their own bug-out system. Some of you watch the show know what it means that they left. When the enemy was advancing. Now, each MASH unit had a 60-bed hospital, as well as surgical nurses and other enlisted men and officers. Now, in real life, MASH Unit 8005 moved over 20 times to 20 different locations during the Korean War. That's what the actual show was based on, is 8005. They were so close to the front lines so that they could be there for the wounded soldiers in what called the golden hour. Now, how many of you watched MASH in its day? Oh my, I've only seen one person without raising a hand. You must have seen it, you just didn't know it. Now, do you remember the helicopters? I love the helicopters that they used. And what about the pilot? They had to, drop his helicopter into landing zones that were barely big enough to fit that helicopter into under fire so they could take wounded soldiers back to the MASH unit. Bloody, shot up kids strapped to the sides of the helicopter. That was this pilot's mission. Now here's the question. What if those doctors and nurses decide they didn't want to be in the danger zone? What if they decided it would have been safer, it would have been more comfortable to remain in their own cleaner, more sterile hospitals? And what if hundreds of helicopter pilots had said, "I'm not flying into the danger zone. Are you crazy? Why should I risk my life and my safety, my own life, to rescue wounded soldiers? If they can get to the hospital on their own, that's good. But don't ask me to do that." Now, for the question of our day. What happens to the church of Jesus Christ when it stops operating as like a mass unit in the field. And it becomes more like a country club where doctors play golf. What happens to individual Christians when they decide to stay in their church pews and never consider it their mission to rescue the wounded in wounded people? The answer is that wounded people often die. Jesus' Great Commission really is the mission of the church. It's given authoritatively with all power from our Supreme Commander. It's to be the driving force of our existence. Go and make disciples of all people. How do I know this is the same mission, go and rescue wounded people? Because the one who gave this order modeled his mission before he gave it to us. In the book of Luke, chapter 19, verse 10, it says, Jesus, the Son of Man, came to seek and save the lost. So, I guess it's urgently important that those who claim to be his disciples answer a vital question, which we did before. Do we believe that most non-Christians are living in superstition and fear? Do we really believe that most non-Christians are lost? Psalm 74:20. Now it's a repeat, but it's a great repeat. The dark places of the earth where the love of God is not known are full of inhabitants of cruelty, selfishness, hatred, greed, strife, violence. Do they need a savior too? Yes. How many of you in the work world, you know I'm telling the truth? You see, the world we live in, we live in a world that continually stresses, don't claim your way is the only way. Don't impose your beliefs on those who disagree. The world hates Christianity, let's just be honest. And much of the world hates those who are seeking to rescue the spiritually wounded people. Why? Jesus said to his disciples, I'm going back to my Father to prepare a way for you to get there as well. There's plenty of room there for you, for all of you. If that isn't the truth, I wouldn't have told you that. You can't go there now, but I'll come back for you, and I'll bring you there to be with myself, and we can be there together. And you know the way to get there. Those words, that's John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. And I might be off one word. You might have to check me out. Do some homework this week. Read that. But remember Thomas? Oh, Thomas. One of those disciples who had doubts. Lord, we don't know where you're going. Actually, he probably said the same thing all of them thought, but Thomas gets blamed for it. So how can we know the way? And Jesus' response leaves no doubt about Thomas and every person in this world how to get there. Jesus told them, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So that's the question for you today. Do you really believe Jesus? Jesus, that he is the only way to heaven, the only way to salvation. Because it's a very small gate and a very narrow road. The world around us loves the wide road. But the road that leads to eternity in hell is wide for those who want the easy path. Far too many people in the modern church claim to be disciples but aren't urgently seeking and rescuing people who are mortally wounded. in our battlefield, Earth. Why not? Because they've allowed excuses to smother their conviction. Tom Rainer, in his book, I Will List Five Excuses, and he lists five excuses that people offer. Now, my favorite one is not my spiritual gift. Really? You think you're not spiritually gifted for evangelism? So you decide you're going to leave that responsibility to others. Think about the logical inconsistency of that objection. Would you say to those who have the gift of mercy never to show mercy, or if they don't have the gift of mercy, never show mercy? Of course not. What would you think about the gift person who does not have the gift of giving should never give? Of course not. Everyone is called to be obedient to the Great Commission, including you and me. Now, I had once my favorite one. That's what we pay our preachers for, or to do. One preacher said, I used to think this objection was more of an attitude in a real sense. And I won't tell you who it was. It wasn't me. But then he started doing started helping out churches that needed help. And he heard it several times. And he challenged a church member to show him where in Scripture it said evangelism was limited to the preacher. Because that knocked out the Gideons just totally. Well, in his response, he couldn't find the Bible. He said, that's just common sense. The next one, I don't have time. I love that excuse. We don't have time to share the love of Christ. It's not really our priority in our lives for far too many people. It's a simple question. Is there anything more important than someone having a relationship with Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? If nothing is more important, how can we not have time to do it? Now this is the one that gets me. This is the one I could go a whole hour on this, and I can't. I don't want to impose my beliefs on others. Oh, this bothers me. This is just plain hogwash, okay? I mean, that's plain simple. Anybody got a doubt where my opinion is on that one? Hogwash. Can you imagine the Apostle Paul standing before a crowd saying, I really have good news for you, but I don't want to impose my beliefs on you, so I'll just keep them to myself. After all, religion is a private matter. Of course not. The gospel is to be shared boldly and joyfully. Now, I'm going to pick on Richard Rutet. He said, I'm an introvert. Actually, if you read any of his books, he really is. Let me confess something to you, he wrote. I used to be really upset with myself when I went somewhere with an extrovert. Oh, an introvert and extrovert, it's a great combination, right? Extrovert Christian friend. And I listened to him share his faith. And he could develop a conversation naturally, and before I knew it, it was something about Jesus. And I'm an introvert, he wrote. And my personality did not lend myself naturally to that type of evangelism. So he made a mistake. He started praying for opportunities to share the gospel. He said, it's been incredible to see how God has opened doors for me when I simply ask for doors to be opened. And those opportunities to lift my introvert personality. Introverted, that'd be a better word. Personality. Being an introvert was not a valid excuse, he wrote. Now here's the truth. We do what we want, what we really want to do. We do what we really want to do, or what's really important to us, period. We do it. So how do we reach a place where we say we'll go? How do we become real disciples of Jesus that are obedient to the Great Commission. If we really believe that Jesus is the only way of salvation and the only way that someone can come to him is by accepting the gospel about Jesus, then we better start practicing Christianity as a theory and put it into action. Yes. Jesus said this very plainly. This is tough. Now hear this out. He was very, very plain. If anybody is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when they come in my Father's glory with the holy angels. Now, those words are found in the book of Mark, chapter 8, 38. They're not comforting words, they're honest. So let me bring this home. Let me give you this example. What if I refuse to wear my wedding ring? I don't even know if it'll come off now, right? It's been on there too long. But what if I avoided telling people that I'm married? What if I pretended to be single when I was with other people, especially when I was around women? Would you believe that I love my wife? Not first off, I would never do that, and I love my wife, okay? But I'm just using that example. And that I was proud to share my life with her. No, this ring says I belong to somebody else. Or would I just want the security of having a wife and no real commitment? That's far too many people in the world. My wife's the best thing that ever happened to me. I'll be in trouble today, but I don't care. She is. And you all think your spouse is too. That's why we are married. But how many people have the same relationship with Jesus? I want the security of heaven, but I don't want to tell anybody about the bridegroom. I want to be able to have an adulterous relationship with the world when I want. 2,000 years ago, Peter and John were in prison. Their crime was telling people about Jesus. And they were escorted before the judges, the Jewish religious leaders, the Sanhedrin. And in hearing their defense, the Sanhedrin decided to let them go on one condition. Keep your mouth shut about Jesus. I put that really short, right? And these two rebels, these two disciples, what did they say? Whether it is right in the sight of God for us to listen to you or rather than to God, you decide. But for we are unable to stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. Now you can read this for yourself in the book of Acts, chapter 4, verses 19 through 20. We ain't being quiet. Now remember, they just killed Jesus just a few days, ago. These guys figured they were probably going to die right then, but they did let them go. They wouldn't stop speaking about Jesus. They wouldn't stop speaking about Jesus. But far too many today won't even start speaking about Jesus. So how do we get from action to theory? It's simple. We either believe God answers prayers or we don't. If we don't have opportunities because we're not asking, or we're too busy with our own pursuits to see them or to ask for them. It's absolutely how God will respond if you ask him. It's simple truth. When you invite somebody to church, they have an opportunity to hear God speak to them. Do you believe that God miraculously sees the hearts of people and still calls them and still transforms them? I do. Tom Rainer and his research group did a study that showed 8 out of 10 people, 8 out of 10 people who do not attend a church would come if a friend invited them. Amazing. If you invite them, they will come. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But in your heart, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks for you to give a reason you have hope." You have to settle the issue with Jesus, Lordship first, and then you have to overcome fear of life. Life has a reason for living, and there are opportunities when lost people ask you what's up with you. Why are you hopeful? Even when it's difficult, even when the world's falling apart. And when we're spiritually alert to such opportunities, we see and speak with hope. Finally, we got to be prepared to speak at every opportunity when the opportunity comes. Often in Scripture, it's testimony about how God called you, saved you, and is still working to affirm you. The love of Christ makes all the difference. You might even try writing it down. Something powerful happens when you prayerfully prepare to take time to honor God with your story. Sometimes you have to write it down to get it figured out. Ask other mature Christians to help you prepare. Ask some questions in a Sunday school, small group. Ask for opportunities for the Holy Spirit to lead you. And yes, you'll be afraid. It's outside your comfort zone. How many of you would be comfortable I made you come up here and do a sermon right now? Don't worry, I'll get you out of here for lunch. But, you know, I got a surgery coming up. How many of you would be comfortable coming up and doing a whole sermon? I got two of them in the sound booth ready to go. Yes, you'd be afraid. It's out of your comfort zone. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, But that's where faith is. And it's impossible to please God without faith. It's time, isn't it? Satan loves when we remain silent. Now, I'm going to help you. In the back of that bulletin insert, the Gideons have started something new. And it says there, you can join the Friends of Gideons. Now, I think I'm on that list. I've been on that list for many years. They've stuck me on it. But they started something new. Did you know, now, to be a friend of Gideon, you don't have to give any money. Yes, they want you to give some money. But you can sign up to get notifications, testimonies, and all that. And they started something new. In addition to supporting the Gideons around the world, Friends can now purchase pocket-sized scriptures that include the New Testament, Psalms, Proverbs, and other resources. So I went on the website and started checking out. You can buy giveaway scriptures now. You don't have to be a Gideon. If you're a friend of Gideon's, you can have one of these in your purse. You can have one of these in your desk drawer. You can have one of these anywhere. Now, you don't have to be the smartest person in the world to open it up and go to this front section called Helps. And when this person comes up to you at work, or the neighbor comes up to you and says, "Why are you able to handle yourself? Have you ever had your mind go blank and you can't think of anything from Scripture?" The whole thing's written in the front of the book. They got, okay, how do you handle anger? None of you have ever had to deal with anger before, right? How do you deal with depression? How do you deal with stealing, stress, terror, war, or good stuff like abundant life? It's all in the front. And I think they're like $2. You can have one in your purse. You can have one in your dress drawer. Gideons are supposed to carry one in their coat pocket at all times, or purse. But if you sign up for Friends of Gideon, you can start the first thing to being able to share that you're not comfortable with. It actually fits in your back pocket too. Now, that's a practical answer for the sermon, how to go and tell. When you don't feel like sharing or don't know what to share, or have you ever been tongue-tied, or if any of you ever quiet, some of you are quiet, others of you, no way. But there's a great opportunity that you can do. Now, we need to close in prayer. so we can go enjoy this weekend. Did you know that you could be a friend to Gideons? So simple. Put you to work. Don't worry, they're not going to send you massive stuff, but you can go find all sorts of things. Now, I personally like the longer Bible.
Oh.
But, yeah, you can do it. Let's close. Our Heavenly Father, we love your scripture, but we also realize it sometimes hurts when we read. You said you would be ashamed of those who are ashamed of you. Never let us be ashamed of you, Father. Never let us not give a reason for our repentance. You called us to repentance, repenting from the evil of this world. Let us be able to share that good news with those who are lost. In your Son's most precious name, amen.